I just wanted to tell you that I'm thankful for all you've done. Help me remember all your blessings, everyone. And when in danger, how you've kept me in your care. And for your
to tell you that I'm thankful. just appreciate being here in church and the good words that I got a chance to hear today about the foundation, about Christ, the chief cornerstone, and what that means to me in my life. And, you know, those kind of songs, Sister Pryor, I really appreciate those. I bring to my remembrance things that have happened in my life and how God has blessed me, how He's kept me, how He's kept me safe. And I don't want to forget those things. You know, I was thinking about, you know, in Hebrews 11, that chapter of faith, going through there and, you know, starting with Abel and going on down and, you know, the different experiences. And I was thinking about, you know, and where does my life fit in there? Where does my life fit in that chapter? And I was thinking about the different experiences and just going over them in my mind. And, you know, I wanted to get up and relate a few because I wanted to be appreciative. I want to magnify those things because as we call that the hall of faith, it's because those experiences that the patriarchs went through that built their faith in God, that helped them through their journey. And it's no different for me today. And I was just thinking about, like I said, things that Brother Smith was saying today, that's part of what God also has done for me. You know, I can look at natural experiences, maybe, Sister Crow, how I might have been sick one time or have been a financial trouble or things like that. But also, I want to look at the blessings of God and the teachings and the doctrines that I've had an opportunity to sit under and listen to all these years and put something in my heart and put something in me that I can have that vision, that focus that he was talking about today of pressing toward the high calling of Jesus Christ, understanding that there is a bride of Christ. And that we have that opportunity to be a part of that. You know, that is such a blessing right there, Sister Inez. That is such a blessing. I do not want to take it for granted. One of the things that I was talking to our youth today in our Bible study was about, you know, what I was trying to give an example as far as a foundation of what makes up that foundation. You know, what are foundation teachings in the body of Christ? What makes this a different way? And going in there and looking at, you know, is it like that everywhere else? Can you hear that somewhere else? Can you feel that spirit somewhere else? You know, I want to lift my hands and say, Lord, I'm thankful that I even see a difference. I'm thankful that one day He opened my eyes to see this way. I'm thankful He put that down in my heart, Sister Crow. I don't want to take this way for granted. I want to appreciate the things that God has put and the people that He has put me amongst. We are in a heavenly place today. I'm dwelling amongst God's angels, God's ministers in the earth today, and I want to lift that up. I want to say, thank you, Lord. I don't want to take those things for granted. But some of the things that was going over my mind, you know, and forgive me if it shakes me a little bit, but, you know, when you get it, it's a personal walk with God, isn't it? It doesn't need to be all about the do's and the don'ts and the letter of the law, but it's that personal relationship with Him. It's knowing that, you know, God the Father, the great creator of the universe, He took an interest in me. He took an interest in you and called us this way and gave us this opportunity to sit in this heavenly place and learn about Him and learn about His ways and learn a little bit more about how to be like Him. And I was thinking about over the past 5 years, how my life has been, it's been an opportunity to get closer to Him. It's been an opportunity to seek Him a little bit more, to let the where the rubber meets the road, to say, okay, what does my walk really with God mean? Is it really creating anything in me? Is it really these doctrines, these principles, this way of life, is it just words? Is it just things I'm hearing? Or is it having its perfect work in me? Is it being able to draw me closer to Him? And I want to tell you, I thank God today that I am still standing here. It's only by the grace and mercy of God as these things have been planted in my life since I was a small child, coming up through this school, having an opportunity to memorize those scripture verses, having an opportunity to rub elbows with the many wonderful saints of God. Those things have put things in my life that I've been able to make it, that I have been able to hold on through hard times, through times when I didn't know what direction to take, I didn't know which way to go, but I just said, God, if I could just throw my hands up and surrender to You, if I could just say, God, I don't know, but You do. I know who holds tomorrow. I know who holds tomorrow. You know who holds tomorrow. We serve a great and wonderful God. And I wanted to get up and say how appreciative. You know, these songs of thanksgiving. You know, something I really have a hard time with. And you can ask both my children about this. Elisha, pay attention. That they understand that whenever they get something, or whenever they're you know, whether it's a birthday gift, whatever it is, even, I told them many times, you know what, even if it's not what you asked for, even if it's not what you think you want, you had better have an appreciation for it. Because someone took the time and they thought about you. They might, you know, they may not have known the exact toy you wanted or the game or whatever it is, but they thought of you. So you need to have appreciation. You need to have thanksgiving. And I've thought about that often. This is the way God works with me. As I'm disciplining them such a prior, it comes to my mind, well, what about you? You know, and then I get a little quieter. I'm like, okay, y'all go on. You know, because I start thinking about, Lord, how have I treated you today? Have I lifted my hands and said, God, you are so great. Thank you for everything you've done in my life. Thank you for those times whenever I don't even know what you've done for me. I don't even know the times that maybe you just nudged me a different way and I took a different path. It might literally have been on the highway when I might have wanted to go one way and he took me another. Maybe Brandon and Zach, the reason we ended up at Brother Urbano's house was because there would have been a wreck somewhere else if we'd have went right to the church. That's an inside joke, but anyway. Just because your iPhone says to go someplace, you need to verify that that's the right place. I'm just saying. But, you know, the thing is, I want to have an appreciation in my heart for the many blessings of God. There's so much he's done. And just lately, I can remember, Brother Daniels and I he got a chance, opportunity to have some dinner with Brother Daniels one night, and I was just talking to him about different things. And I had told him at that time that I had just been praying about some things, and God had just been giving me a big, fat wait. That's all. You know, just wait. Not a yes, not a no, not a blah, blah, blah. Just wait. That was challenging. That was challenging to just be able to accept and like, all right, Lord, anything else? And I'm praying on that all the time, and all I could ever get was just wait. But through that, God started drawing me just more and more closer to him. And I started to see, Lord, I just need to be appreciative for where I'm at today. I need to be appreciative for just having this relationship with you, this time to just think on you and be able to get closer. And over time, I didn't stop praying about it. I continued. I just was accepting what he was saying that day. But, you know, there came a time when I was praying one day, and I didn't hear a wait. I heard, watch and see. And, you know, it's because I had that wait before. It's because I really felt that that's what God was telling me. When I felt that watch and see, it was like something's about to happen. Something's about to change. And I felt that, and I've never felt that before. And I want to magnify that, because if anything, God is just trying to get me sometimes to just sit down, be quiet, sit still, and just wait. And just wait on his time. You know, God is the on-time God. He's not late. He's not early. He arrives. He does what he wants right when he needs to. The challenge for me is just realizing that it's in his time. It's not in my time. I don't need to get myself involved in it. I need to just wait on him. And I want to lift that up. I'm trying to give him thanks. I'm trying to give him thanks for the past, you know, especially the past year. How he has blessed me in different ways. In my job, there were times, I went to the emergency room because I thought I was having a stroke. Things have just been so stressful on my job. And all I could do is just, Lord, you know, once again, I was praying, God, do I need to leave this place? Is it killing me? What am I need to do? All I could hear from that, wait. That was his favorite word for me for at least a good 8 months. And, you know, okay, wait. And then he worked things out. I ended up getting a promotion on my job. I don't know if it was a true promotion or not. I'll let y'all know that in another 6 months. But it's still today, I want to get up and just say how appreciative I am. I can't magnify that enough. I can't lift that enough up that I just want to, when I come into service, you know, I may not have anything great to say. I may not have anything that I can just expound on the Word of God, but I can lift my hands and I can say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for leading me this way. Thank you for giving me the gift of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for teaching me these things. Thank you for giving me a vision of the body of Christ. These are precious jewels, and I don't want to treat them as trash. I want to realize what God has given me. I want to say, thank you, Lord. I just want to magnify Him. I want to praise His name, you know. No rock will ever have an opportunity to cry out because I'm going to praise Him. I want to lift Him up in everything that He does for me. And that's even when He's telling me to wait. That's even when I don't have answers. That's even whenever I might be in the lowest pit in my mind. I can still say, God, I know You're there, and I know You love me, Lord, because You've proven it time and time and time again. So I just want to get up tonight. I just want to say, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. I appreciate You, Lord. I appreciate these songs of thanksgiving. I appreciate this opportunity to just come up, to be in a place where I can do that, where the Spirit of the Lord really is, where I can have a freedom to worship Him, where I'm not worried about me getting up here and Brother Smith calling the usher staff to escort me out because I'm getting up here speaking. But I can get up and I can magnify the Lord. Isn't that an opportunity that we all have here today to get up and just say, thank You, Lord. Thank You for what You've done in my life. Thank You for the many blessings. Thank You for loving me whenever I didn't deserve anything, because I know my own heart. And as much as I do know it, when I look, I don't see, like, Lord, what do You see in me? What do You see in me? But what He sees is something He can change me into, because I want to be more like Him today. I want to get one step closer. So if that means getting up and just saying, you know what? Here's my offering today. I'm doing a wave offering for my God. I want to praise His mighty name. I want to lift Him up and say, God, You are worthy of all praise. So I'm just thankful to be here tonight.
Well, I got to thinking the other day of all the people in Central Arkansas. What are the odds that we are here, of all the people that have come through these doors that never saw anything? What are the odds that we're still here? Hey, I was reading an obituary yesterday. This lady, she was 71 years old, and I did not know her. But when I was a kid, I remember she lived close to my grandfather. And I just remember her name. I knew her brother quite well, but I haven't seen him in about 50 years. But in the obituary, it said she was a member of the Second Baptist Church, and that's where I was raised, was in the Second Baptist Church. And I got to thinking, you know, God could have left me in the Second Baptist Church. You know, He's left a lot of people in the Baptist Church, but He promoted me to where I got invited to a UPC church and got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You know, that's one of the most wonderful memories I'll ever have is the day I got the Holy Ghost. Those UPC people, they were vigilant. They would, every time I'd come to church, they'd gather around, pray for me. And one night I remember they were praying for me and had my eyes closed, and all of a sudden I started speaking in tongues. And I remember one of the men, he said, Troy, try to speak English. And I thought, well, maybe I could, but my tongue was really speaking in the Spirit. So that's one of my favorite memories, is the day I got the Holy Ghost. And you know, I'm not here. I didn't come this way willingly. I was, after I went to the UPC church, I was visiting in Hot Springs. When I went back to Conway, I never bothered to look up a UPC church. And then in the spring of 1970, I read an article in the Conway paper. This man in fact, brother, I found out later that Brother Tucker actually knew him, and he was starting a non-denominational Pentecost church in Conway, and I hadn't been to church in about, I guess, about 6 years, and so I thought, I'll check this out. So so it turned out that he called his church the Tabernacle of Truth, you know, and I thought, boy, this man must be really special. He talked about how he fasted and God showed him all these things, but I realize now he was just making all of this up, because he said he fasted several days in the wilderness, and I mean the forest, and God showed him what was going to happen, and all this destruction was coming back in the 70s. But anyway, I found out later that he liked to drink beer. So I thought, well, I don't know about a preacher that drinks beer. So then his wife caught him with another woman. So, you know, after that, I just lost faith in all churches. I said, I'm through with all of it. Just, I'm not going to church anywhere. I believe in God. But then I happened to live in a trailer park next to Brother Tucker's brother. And I was talking to him one Wednesday afternoon. And he said, why don't you go to church with me tonight? I said, no. I said, maybe sometime. But I meant never. I wasn't planning on going. So at 7 o'clock, he knocked on the door and he said, let's go. And so I know it had to be God, because the first night I was here, it was in the old building, but I realized something was different about this place. I mean, it was just immediately, it seemed like God made me understand it was different. And I remember Brother Tucker asking me if I would like to say anything, and I said, I remember I got upset and I will be back, and I meant it. I was coming back. And I remember back then, it was like it was a magnet drawing you. Every time it'd be time for church, it was like a magnet drawing you in here. So I'm thankful God opened my eyes, and you know, he could have, you know, nobody in my family, dead or alive, has seen this way. But that was back in the 70s, and I remember back in the 60s, Jackie DeShannon had a song. It was a hit song. It was called, part of the words, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing. There's just too little love. So what the world needs now is the love, the unselfish, unconditional love that we read about in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, that I'll love you if you love me. Well, that's not the real kind of love, but anyway, you know, there's nothing more precious than what we have. You know, Whitney Houston was a beautiful woman. She had a beautiful voice. She had fame, money, clothes, and yet she wasn't happy. She self-destructed over alcohol and over drugs. And Elvis Presley was the same way. He was handsome, famous, made movies. He had it all, and yet he wasn't happy. He self-destructed on drugs. So we know that out there is not all of that. It sounds good, you know, if you think, well, if I just had all what they had, I'd be happy. But evidently, it doesn't work that way, because you just look at the entertainment industry, and you see the tragedy of how many people have died self-destructed with drugs or alcohol or whatever. So I was reading in the paper a week ago yesterday, it said that 20% of the people in this country, adults, are not church affiliated, and I was surprised. I figured it was higher than that. And it said among the people 30 and younger, 30% were not church affiliated, and it said some of them were atheists, and some of them said the church, these modern churches just don't seem relevant. So that's what happened to me when I was in the Baptist church. I had quit. It just didn't seem relevant. But I know this is a special place, and you know, we're so honored that God would show us this. We're such a blessed people, and praise God for his blessings.
Praise the Lord. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. My body's tired, but I'm glad to be here. Amen. My spirit always wants to be in church. My inner man wants to go to church. My body says, oh no, not again. But I'm just not quite as young as I used to be for some reason. But I appreciate the Lord today. I thank the Lord for the minister's meeting that I was able to go to. I thank the Lord that I was able to hitch a ride with the Tallies and enjoyed their company and enjoyed being with Brother Jerry York. And thank the Lord for the privilege to be with the brethren, because I hadn't got a chance to be with them in quite a while. And I really appreciate being privileged to go. Amen. God is so good.
Hey, you can put it in there. Thank you. But just so thankful to feel the presence of the Lord in the minister's meeting and just see everybody again. I just am so thankful for the way that the Lord leads. You know, sometimes we don't understand how He leads. But it's not so much to know how He leads as to follow His leading. I'd like to know sometimes why He leads me where He does, but He knows it's best for me. Brother Fisher, we're wanting things to be answered now. We want to know now. And sometimes it's just not for now. Sometimes it's on down the line. Sometimes we got to wait. Sometimes we have to wait on God and for what He wants to do. And I appreciate the Lord being patient with me. He has to have patience with me. And I thank the Lord that He has had patience with me. And I was just thinking as I was trying to feel after the Lord, and was thinking about Noah and thinking about that generation that God had to deal with there in Noah's day, that all flesh had corrupted themselves and every imagination of their heart was evil continually. And I don't know about you, but we're living in that kind of a spiritual age where people have corrupted themselves and their imaginations are evil. And in Noah's day, that was the case. And I was reading in 1 Peter 3 and 20, which sometimes we're disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. The long-suffering of God waited. God waited on Noah to build that ark. God was patiently waiting for Noah to build that ark to the saving of his house. And I got to thinking, Lord, sometimes I think You're patient with me. He has to wait, Sister Crow, on me. Because the Bible says that Peter preached, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And saving ourselves is a process of time. Sure, when we initially come to the Lord, some people say we get saved. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. So there's a process there. And the long-suffering of God waited on Noah. The Bible calls him a preacher of righteousness. He was a preacher that preached the right way. He was a preacher that preached God's way. And he worked on that ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. Him working on that ark. Do you know that you working on your salvation condemns people? And what I mean by that is, as you get closer to the Lord and you exemplify Jesus, your example condemns the world. Because you want to do right. You want to do what God wants you to do. And when you're doing what God wants you to do, there's lots of people out that, people that love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And because of that, when light is exposed to that darkness, they don't like it. They don't like that righteousness. And it turns them off. And they don't like to be around you. But God waits on you to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We've got to be careful to do that inspection of ourself and let that candle of the Lord shine in your heart to see where things are right and to see where things are wrong and to examine ourselves and say, Lord, I've got to have help in this area. That's what I like about preaching. You know, some preaching, you know, you get in there and you say hallelujah to, and that other preaching you hear and you say, oh my. Oh, that hurts. But you know, I'm glad for every preacher that preaches and every teacher that teaches and every prophet that prophesies and every evangelist that's evangelizing. Amen. I thank God for every fivefold ministry that deals with my heart and shows me what I need to do. Because God's long-suffering is waiting on me to get my ark ready. To get it pitched in and without with pitch. To get it sealed. You know, we're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We've got to be sealed inside and out. God don't want the world permeating our ark, getting inside of our ark. God wants His Spirit to emanate from that ark. It's going to condemn that world. It condemned the world. It condemned the ungodly. They saw that thing floating up there. And they probably were thinking, you know what? I should have listened to that man when he was preaching. I should have listened to what he was exhorting me to do. I should have listened to what he was trying to tell me to do. But no one listened. Sometimes they don't listen to you, but you're trying your best to save yourself. You're doing your best to do what God wants you to do, and God's long-suffering is waiting on you. The Bible says the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing. While that ark was going under preparation, just like God is preparing our hearts and doing what He wants to do inside of our hearts. Amen. He's waiting on us to get to where we need to be. The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. God's wanting us. He that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. You're trying and striving to get more pure, striving to be like Jesus, striving to show forth His examples, His pattern, His ways, His steps, exemplifying Him. The long-suffering of God waited while the ark was preparing. And it was doing it for just 8 souls. Just 8 souls. The same water that destroyed the world was the same water that saved Noah and his family. But he prepared something to save himself from that destruction. And I was thinking as I was reading that, and you know, it talks about that in 1 Peter, but in 2 Peter, and it talks about Noah. In 2 Peter 2 and 5, he spared not the old world. God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. God brought judgment. You know, one thing about being around the body of Christ, I've learned that there is judgment. Judgment's got to begin at the house of God. You know, the Bible says, judge not lest ye be judged, but you know, you've got to judge yourselves. You've got to look in the mirror of God's Word and look and see where you're at. You know, it talks about he that is a hearer of the word and he that's a doer of the word, a hearer of the word, sometimes he looks in that mirror, looks at himself, and forgets what he's like. He looks at himself in the mirror and forgets what he looks like. Excuse me, but a person that hears and does, he looks at himself in that mirror, and he does something about what he's looking at. He hears and he does what God tells him to do. And Noah, he received that righteousness from God. He built that ark, and he was the eighth person saved. You know, I think it's pretty unique. It doesn't say he was the first person saved. He was the eighth person saved. All the other ones had the preeminence in there, didn't it? I've never thought about that. But he was the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. And then it talks about turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. You go into another time period where God's judgment went on the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and turned them into ashes. Excuse me. Turned them into ashes and condemned them with an overflow, making them an example after those that after should live ungodly. And so there's so many examples in the Word of God of what happens when we live ungodly. That God will overthrow. And God will judge those that live ungodly. And I was reading that, and then it says it about delivering Lot. Delivering just Lot. Lot was a just man. A just man. But it says about Lot that he was vexed. He was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. The way they lived. Excuse me. I need some water, I guess. But he was vexed by the filthy conversation of the wicked. And it got a hold of him, and it did something to him. He was still just. He still called a just person. Thank you. But he was vexed. He was vexed by that filthy conversation. You know, sometimes you think it's just vulgar language and stuff like that. But it wasn't just language. It was the way that those people lived. It was their conversation, the way they conducted themselves, the way they acted. That vexed Lot. And I don't know about you, but there's a lot of vexations out there in this world today. And it can affect us if we let it. Or we can grab a hold of Jesus' hand, amen, and have the example of Jesus Christ in our hearts, amen, and let the love of God, amen, be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, and let the Holy Ghost do something in us instead of that world and the vexation of unrighteousness do something to our heart. I don't want that stuff to do anything to me. Because Lot, that stuff vexed him. The filthy conversation of the wicked. And it says, and it goes on to explain it, that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing. So it was more than just hearing some language. It was seeing some things, hearing some things. It vexed his righteous soul from day to day. All that just constantly grinding on him. That's why I got to come to church. That's why I got to come to the house of God. That's why I got to read the Word of God. That's why I need to pray. That's why I need to find a prayer closet somewhere, enter in that closet. And the Father that seeth in secret when I'm in the prayer closet shall reward me openly. That's why it's important for me to get a hold of God every day. Because that filthy conversation that's out there, the spirit of the world, the spirit of the beast, if you mind, that spirit that's out there will vex you. Because it wants you to think like they think, and it wants you to act like they act, and they want you to dress like they dress, and they want you to do everything like they do. But you know what? I want to listen to the preacher of righteousness. I want to listen to somebody that'll save my soul. I want to listen to the fivefold ministry so it makes me into that example and what I need to be. Amen. You know what? I want to not be vexed by the things that are out there. Lot was a just man, but he was vexed. Vexed by the filthy conversation of the wicked. From day to day, those unlawful deeds just kept working on him. And I like what it says then. It says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Oh, thank God for a praying uncle. Thank God for people that pray for you. Thank God for somebody that intercedes for you. Amen. Thank God that Lot had an uncle that knew how to pray and intercede. Thank God that God watched Lot and saw that he was a just man. Amen. And even had people come in there and pull him out of there. pull him out of there. That influence was so great that he didn't just run for his life. He had to have someone come in there and pull him out. The angels of the Lord, the angel of the Lord told the family, don't look back. But Lot's wife did. Became a pillar of salt. That vexation. You know, when I was telling the church this morning, you know, the reason why that took place, because Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. We got to watch where we pour our tent. We got to watch where we live at. I'm not just talking about where your house is located at. I'm talking about what you dwell at and what you dwell on and what you partake of and what you are, you know, allow to come into your life. You've got to watch where you pitch yourself at. Thank God for an uncle that knew how to pray. Thank God for the mercy of God. Oh, I'm so glad for God's mercy. I'm so glad for God's mercy. Amen. That'll reach down to where you're at and even have angels pull you out. I thank God for the ministry that pulls you out. Amen. I thank God for the ministry that the angels of the Lord, that you know, the ministry is referred to angels of the Lord that will pull you out from where you're at. And bring you into safety. Hallelujah. Because when they got to safety, God poured out his judgment. He didn't pour out his judgment when they were in there. He waited for them to escape. And then he poured out his judgment. Hallelujah. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Oh, thank God he knows. He knows how. He knows how. He knows how. Thank God. Hallelujah. When you think about it, Job, that can say, you know what? He knows the steps that I take. And when he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Hallelujah. When he has tried me, hallelujah. You know what? Sometimes the Lord has to try us. Amen. Put that baptism of fire on us to see what we're going to do. Hallelujah. Thank God for someone that has mercy upon us that will pull us out when we need it. He will not put on you any more than you're able to bear. But he'll make a way of escape. Thank God for the way of escape. Amen. That he's right there to pull you out. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for the long suffering of God that waits on us to get our hearts right. Amen. Then you also read in the scripture, it says, where God's spirit shall not always strive with man, for he is flesh. I don't want to find out how far he'll go with. But I want to let God's righteous preacher preach to me. Because we're working on something. We're working on a building. We're all building until we come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of Man, unto the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the fullness of the measure of the stature, the fullness of the measure, the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. That's what we're working on. That's what we're working to accomplish. We want to get to that point. Because when you're that point, you're not going to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine and cunning craftiness wherein men lie in wait to deceive you. Because when you're established with God's ministry, they're not going to deceive you. That ministry is trying to get you to come to that fullness of the stature. The fullness. I want his fullness, sister. He's still showing me more and more of his fullness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you. Amen. I want to see him in his fullness. When you think about Peter, James, and John up in that mountain transfiguration, seeing Jesus transfigured before, you know, I'd probably have done the same thing. Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's just build 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. I'd have probably done the same thing. Amen. But you you know what? He wants us to go on to perfection. He wants us to be like Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank God. I appreciate the Lord tonight. Amen. I'm thankful to be here tonight. Amen. I'm thankful to be here tonight. Amen. Here's a song I'm thinking about, and I don't think I have the words with it to me. And I don't know if you got the words in your computer. But I do know I got it in a songbook back at home, but it's not doing me no good here. It's called All Alone. Y'all know that song? It's a beautiful song. Had my red songbook, I'd sing it. Amen. But it's got beautiful words to it. Hallelujah. I don't have it there, so it's not up there. On Mount Calvary's sacred brow, Jesus spent the night in prayer. He's a pattern for us all. All alone, and that's all I remember. Hallelujah. Can't find it. All right. The chorus says, there are days I'd like to be all alone with Christ my Lord. I can tell Him all my troubles all alone. There are days I'd like to be all alone with Christ my Lord. I can tell Him all my troubles all alone. There are days I'd like to be all alone with Christ my Lord. I can tell Him all my troubles all alone. There are days I'd like to be all alone with Christ my Lord. I can tell Him all my troubles all alone. Oh, there are days I'd like to be all alone with Christ my Lord. I can tell Him all my troubles all alone. Oh, there are days I'd like to be all alone with Christ my Lord. I can tell Him all my troubles all alone. Oh, there are days I'd like to be all alone with Christ my Lord. I can tell Him all my troubles all alone. Oh, there are days I'd like to be all alone with Christ my Lord. I can tell Him all my troubles all alone. Praise God. Hallelujah, and I wish I had the other words to it. Amen. I thank the Lord for the privilege to be here tonight. Amen. Appreciate you all. Appreciate Brother Smith. Amen. Putting up with Brother Coles. Amen. Lord bless you tonight. Amen.
Not, you know, blinding me, and I try to be, you know, more try to be spiritual minded now. More now, I'm gonna more concentrate every day on putting the top on Jack in the Box. I mean, we've been talking about that all afternoon, and I've had to do it 2-3 times today, Brother Smith, and but now I call her Jacqueline, put the box on Jacqueline in the Box. Anyway, I also want to whenever we were singing that song about. When in danger, you know, there's many, many times that I was in danger that God kept me in His care. And today, I'm thanking God for my family that's out there that God used somebody, and Stan said it was an angel, because right after we prayed, he called me like 30 minutes later that they were like walking distance to McDonald's. So they went to McDonald's, and while they were in the restaurant talking about what they were going to do, this man approached him and said, "I would like to help y'all. I would like to take you where you need to go." And Grandpa said, "It's quite a ways." He goes, "I don't care. I feel that I need to do this for y'all." So he took them 60 miles, and he came back 120 miles. Who in this day and age would do something for nothing? He would not take any money or anything. He said, "No." He said, I need to do this." And so they were very, very thankful for that. And now they're in a safe place, and they're waiting to make their move tomorrow. And I think Grandpa's going to come back. They're going to get a rental car and come back, because the car won't be ready for 2 or 3 weeks. But, you know, I was just thinking about that, you know, in the past, you know, when we've said about in the Bible says, be careful who you entertain strangers might be entertaining angels. And that's happened to me several times, and I don't want to forget, just like what Philip said, you know, I want it to come to my mind, and God does that to me, because I'm telling you, I'm getting this old timers thing that I forget. Oh my goodness, I did something horrible just last week for my brother. I sent him on a job site thinking it was Friday. That poor guy sat there 3 hours, and when I was in my therapy and they told me, "Okay, I need to schedule you for tomorrow," I said, "You're open on Saturday?" He goes, "Miss Fisher, tomorrow's Friday." And I go, "Oh my God." So I got on the phone right away and called this guy. I said, "David, is Ray with you?" He goes, "No, not till tomorrow." I said, "Oh my God, I thought it was Friday today." And so I called Junior and I said, "Junior, where are you?" He goes, "I'm waiting." I said, "Well, how long?" He goes, "3 hours." "Junior, I'm so sorry." I said, "Please forgive me. I'm sorry." He goes, "That's okay. Don't worry about it." And so, you know, I was thankful that he was, you know, kind. I mean, because that's my brother. He gets mad at me. I get mad at him. But that day, you know, I was so, oh my goodness, my heart was so heavy, because I felt so bad that he had to wait 3 hours because of my forgetfulness. That, I mean, I don't know why I thought it was Friday. So believe me, that was one of my old timers senior moments things. And lately I've been having a bunch of them. I said, "Philip, please remind me when I need to pick up the kids. I don't want to let them sit there at school and wait, you know." And but you know, they're pretty well in my mind where I'm not going to say I won't, but I try not to forget them. But I'm thankful that God has left my mind sharp enough to know when church services are, and because I'm so thankful I get to be here every time the doors are open. And y'all know if I'm not, that something's wrong. And last Sunday, forgive me, Brother Smith, for not calling you, but I was not in no condition to call. I have never had that type of virus. And I think God got me back, as a lot of people that talk to me and say, "Oh, I got so sick, I could not eat a bite. I'm depressed, I don't eat. I said, "Oh my God," I said, "I get depressed, I eat. I get sick, I eat. I eat all the time. I wish I could get sick and not eat." Well, let me tell you, I got sick and I could not eat for 2 days. It was like, oh, I don't even want the word food. Get out of here, you know. Donna bought me a bag of goodies. I didn't even want to look at them. I just left them in the bag. But, you know, I said, "Lord, forgive me. I will never say that again." But I have to always remember, never say never on a lot of other things that I have said too. But I also want to keep my word to God that I want to be a better person. And I've been slack on my Bible reading. I've been asking God to give me a stronger desire and a more wisdom and understanding, because I listen, I hear, but I don't understand a lot of things. And I know that I need to ask questions and stuff. And I've had some questions, but it seems like it's never the right time. So Philip advised me to just write them down, you know, and send them to Brother Smith. And so I need to just start doing that. But I really, really, really appreciate, just like I was telling Sister Yvonne Wednesday night, you know, you don't realize, you know, I don't want to wait for you family or, you know, that to die and me get up and tell you how much I appreciated them, what they did for me and blah, blah, blah. I want to tell you now that I appreciate you for being there for me, for praying for me, coming to my rescue. And, you know, I was alone all week, but it was little Tanya here. Sunday, whenever I said I was going to be alone all week, he goes, "No, you won't." I said, "I won't." He goes, "Oh, God's going to be with you." I said, "You know what, Tanya, you're right. God was with me all week, and I really, really, really appreciate him, and I thank him for being my best friend."
they were singing that song, just wanted about thanking the Lord and for His mercy. You know, they loved us. I thought of the song that Sister Lynette used to sing, Thanks for Loving Me. You know, that song has been going over my mind for the last few weeks. And really, you know, the God, Lord didn't have to love me. He didn't have to open my eyes. He didn't have to let me see what was going on, but He did. And, you know, of all the mercy that He showed me, all the ways He's done for me, and He's kept His hand over me, and I just wanted to tell you, I thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for loving me. Thanks for everything, for all Your blessings and Your goodness to me. But most of all, thanks for loving me. Thanks for loving me, Lord. Oh, God, I thank You. I thank You. And thank You. Oh, I appreciate the Lord and His mercy. If I stop and you stop and think, where would you go? What would you do? What would you be if it wasn't for the hand of God? I don't want to even... Ooh, the thought of it just gives me chills that I could be anywhere. But God saved me. He saved me and opened my eyes to let me see that there's something great going on in this world that's not of this world, and I can be a part of it.
Appreciate getting to be in the house of the Lord today. They enjoyed the going to the meeting and all the intricacies of getting there. It was entertaining, for sure. I like adventure. I don't necessarily like them just like that, but I like it, and I like a good adventure. I appreciate the spirit of the Lord we felt this morning and, of course, this evening. On with the meeting was, you know, there's always, I heard this before, I don't remember where I heard it, but there's the govern and there's the governor. And I'm okay to be a governed. You know, a diesel engine has a governor. If it didn't have a governor, it would rev itself and scatter itself. It's one of the only engines that actually can do that. You can take a car engine and a gas burning engine and it will rev, and even back in the up until they come up with fuel injection, started to put speed controls and rev limiters and things like that on the computers, you could rev a carbureted gas engine up, and under normal circumstances it would start floating the valves. It's because the lifter in it loses all the fluid, and so the valves quit working like they should, and so it wouldn't get enough fuel in it to actually blow itself up because it would float the valves. I floated many a valve racing an engine, racing trucks. You rev them up, you take off, and before you shift, you miss your shift point, so you float your valves in your truck, and of course, typically you're going to lose the race because it takes a few minutes for it to all pump back up. But a diesel engine doesn't do that. It has it doesn't work off the same system. It will actually rev itself till it explodes. And, you know, things can get so out of balance and out of kilter. Without a governor, it takes governing to hold things together. Our Constitution is what it is. It's a document. But we believe that it was a document forged by God, and it has, to some large degree, kept us in check as a nation. It's only been in recent years that they, as Billy Brown said, Brother Billy Brown said several years ago in a meeting, I don't remember exactly where he was at, but he said that, you know, man, he was talking to the church, and he said, man, you got to realize they don't have to rewrite the Constitution. All they have to do is just reinterpret it. And I'm going to say that again to you. They can take one law and make it say something else just by the way they read it. It's still the same words, but all of a sudden it means something else. And then they play upon that, and all of a sudden it loses its effectiveness. There was a thought brought out at the meeting that I would like to share just briefly. But first, I'll point out that during the song that how he's kept me in his care, I thought Sister Fisher hit upon a part that was touching my heart when we were singing that song. I was praying while we were singing that song. I think that's something that we could learn to do. I had never thought of that. It's funny, you've been in church since you're a 16-year-old boy, but you always learn something. Sometimes it's not something complex. It's actually something simple. And at the meeting, there was a man got up and was playing the piano, and so they usually do that, and we all know it's time to grab a seat and, you know, get your stuff out and get ready. The meeting's fixing to fire up. Today's service fixing to get going. And Brother Dow got up and commented this on this man singing. He said that he always sings in the spirit of prayer. Well, for some reason, I know that, but it didn't ever click with me. It's kind of weird how that works, isn't it? You know, I always sing my songs. I've always played. I play my horn. Play my guts out. Play as hard as I can play that horn sometimes, to the dismay of many around me, to the annoyance of many around me. But I've never thought about it, that I should be praying when I was singing this song. So I started praying when I was singing this song. It's like the song was my prayer. I tried to put myself into that role to see if I could tap into what the spirit of that actually is. And a part of that song that said that when I was in danger, how you've kept me in your care. So many times we worry about physical danger. Somebody comes through the door with a gun. Well, that's danger. House catching on fire, that's danger. Kids, accidents, jumping off a roof and catching your toe in the gutter. See, that's all dangerous, ain't it? Seems dangerous. When I was 15, it wasn't dangerous. It was just fun. Now it's dangerous because I know it can put me down and I got to work. I hate to work in a cast. Jody just, she wouldn't have any mercy. She'd just make me go on. You know, she had a gallbladder surgery on a Saturday. It was back at work Monday morning. What, you got a bum leg. What's your excuse? How does that affect your head and your hands? It don't. It affects my mobility. That's kind of the way she is. But I love her for that too. But one of the biggest dangers that we have is the danger of our soul. There's so many pitfalls, and as has been mentioned in the past couple of weeks, devices that we invent and devices that are invented by other people. That's why in Proverbs, the 9th chapter, in the last verse, he makes this statement. He said that, let me qualify this right here. In Matthew, the 10th chapter, Jesus said, don't fear him that can destroy your body. It's not your body that you're trying to save anyway. We exercise. I've been exercising. Other men here, all of us in the same age bracket, ironically, have kind of discovered we might want to exercise. We want to live a little longer. Had a lady one time told Jody, and referred it back to me, that she wanted to lose weight and get healthy just so she could live long enough to see her kids grow. Well, that's honorable. Can't do it for yourself, but you'll do it for them. That's good. But at the end of the day, look in the mirror. You're getting old. Had one person one time say that you think these are wrinkles and marks of distinction, but they're really, or signs of distinction, but they're really just marks of death. We're getting older. And so many times, I think that in that song it touched my mind that we're not supposed to worry about the physical danger. You're going to save it anyway. It ain't making it. It's not going to make the trip. This old body ain't making the trip. But it's the danger of our soul that's always at stake. And nearly every day, our soul is in jeopardy of something. We should always walk circumspectly and look around us and be careful where you put your foot. Be careful how we proceed in our life. It's a very tricky thing walking with the Lord, isn't it? You know, if he was a drill instructor, it'd be easy to follow him. March, march, march. But he don't really work that way. He's a little bit calmer about it. Sometimes I think it'd be easier to sit underneath the drill instructor. Then they start barking orders, and I realize I don't really want to do that either. I just soon let God lead us. And he is. He's working on his ministry. But he says, fear him that can destroy both body and soul in hell. Well, we know that's not a literal burn in hell, but that is a hellish condition or a church. Many people, many churches feel that they're saving souls, but really they're not really achieving what God's plan is for them. They have to have a start. That's why in Proverbs, the 9th chapter, in the last verse, he said, and he knows not that the dead are there. Well, here we're still here, Matthew 10:28. And fear not them which are to kill the body. Thank you. But are not able to kill the soul. But rather, fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Let's go to Proverbs the 9th chapter and last verse. And he'll say this. It'll say that something to this effect. I start quoting it before they get it up there. I'll have to reread it. But it says that he knows not that the dead are there and that their guests are in the depths of hell. Brother Smith was touching on that a little bit this morning, just briefly. The call of religion and things like that. And in that Proverbs 9, the last chapter, last verse. Yes, but he knoweth not that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of hell. That's those people that become aware. They're out there in that condition. They may be a twofold child of hell more than the people that led them there, but they become aware of their place, and God leads them out by his hand. Therefore, their soul was no longer in danger. Their soul wasn't in jeopardy. They became saved from that hellish condition. They were just a guest that's there. And there are many people that are just guests out there. They're not staying there indefinitely. They're just there for a time being. And one of the thoughts that come out in this meeting, and I'll get back to a little bit to governance there. One of the thoughts that come out this meeting, I think it's a good saying, but it may bear some scrutiny, because there is a difference. Do you remember the word I looked up this morning? Adjunction. Was it abjunction or adjunction? Education. Adjunction. I can't think of the word now. Yeah, it's a big word. It's a $3 word with a $2 man using it. But there are laws, and then there are judgments, and then there are decrees, and then there are commandments in the Bible. Not necessarily a decree. A king put out a decree, but God didn't really put out a decree that I'm aware of. Adjudication. What does it say? That's the word. Is the final judgment. That's right. Well, I was sitting in Bible study listening to Brother Smith's talk this morning. That word popped in my head, and I knew I hadn't read it in many years, because last time when I was growing up, since we didn't have TVs, even before we got in church, we didn't have them after church. We got in church. I used to get a lot of Reader's Digest. Y'all remember those? And I used to have those things called Enrich Your Word Power. And I discovered I needed a better vocabulary, so I would read that. I still like reading them, too. I just don't ever get it. I don't even know if they make the book anymore. Probably on a CD now or an email you get. It's hard to find anything in paperback except for tax statements and things like that. But what was talked about this meeting was a lot of judgment. And it was thought to come out. It said this right here. Let's go to Matthew, the 7th chapter. And just for a second, and I don't want to derail the ship here or derail the train or jump out of channel. In any way, but there was a thought put forth that of situational ethics, and that is a law is a law, and I have always believed this, and I've taught this to my boys, and I've told other people this, that if the law or commandment that comes across a pulpit is such, if it hits me, then it hits me. But today, if it hits you, then it hits you today. I wasn't guilty of that problem. Whatever that may be, you can make it whatever you want. And so, I don't want to live a life of a hypocrite or a shovel religion where I just shovel everything off on people. But if a law is this and this, then that's the law across the board for everybody. I can hear my branch creaking behind me. or under me, I should say. But in this thought process, we find that there are times and situations that every case is not the same. That's why we have in the United States how many 20-something amendments where they've went and made adjustments to the law of the Constitution to make room for other situations of people's or societies. And we find that whenever we move into the kingdom of heaven, we find that there are laws, but that law may need some tweaking in order to cover this person, not tweaking it to where it's a lie. But here's the danger of tweaking laws. And this was a thought that was put out, and I'll just share it. I feel like it was a good thought, but we might get into it a little bit with it. Was this right here? Was the Bible talks about that there was a man that built his house upon a rock, didn't he? And he dug down deep and he built that house on a solid foundation. That's what we teach. What is that solid foundation? Is it just Christ and the apostles? We know that we go to Corinthians, the third chapter, we'll find that it says there's no other foundation can be laid than that which is laid, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, and so forth and so on. But there are those foundations that you got when you come in. You know what one of the things that changed you when you came into the kingdom of heaven and received the Holy Ghost, it changed me as well. I don't mean you as in you, I just mean you as in all of us as people, a person, is that whenever we come in, we receive these laws. But what are you receiving? You're receiving commandments. You're receiving things that bind the flesh. Whenever they would have a child, that's why the baby was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Those ain't loose clothes, but those are tight clothes, and that child would learn to control himself. Let me tell you something. Just take yourself, have somebody take you and put you in a straitjacket. If you don't get control of your mind, you'll go crazy. And so those are laws that bind the flesh and prevent us from exercising ourselves in our expressions, our negative expressions, our worldly expressions. Those are good laws. That's what causes the church to start to develop and start. There's not a soul in here who came in here a foundation person. You became a foundation person. What created that ability was that there was a man of God and a message that was anointed that put that into you, and you accepted that seed into your heart, and it grew into a tree and it became a foundation pillar in the church. What a wonderful thing to be. If you've been here 30 years, you should be a foundation. I've been in the body of Christ 30-some years. I hope to think that I'm a pillar. I may not be the main pillar, but at least I want to be a supportive pillar. I'm not an engineer at all. I used to build with Lego blocks, and I tried the house of card things one time. That didn't do too well. But there are people that can build masterful things. And there are main structure or supportive members, and there are less supporting members, but they still have a part in the support. Without them, then the main part would lose its ability to hold its part up. How's that? Break that down. Anyway, but whenever we build down on, this man went, and well, let's just read it right fast. It says, therefore, whosoever, I'm in Matthew 7, 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Well, we don't have to be in jeopardy. That's why when we sing that song, that when in danger, how you've kept me in your care. If we draw nigh to God, he'll what? He'll draw nigh unto us. When we start feeling that separation from God, that's whenever we start fearing the wind blowing. That's when we get our mind upon all the rage of this world. Why does the heathen rage? That's why we get worried about that. We start fretting about monies, and we start fretting about our job situations. It's because we draw just a little bit further away from the Lord than we should be. It don't have to be far, and it's different distances for different people. You can't put a footage on it. Can't measure it, Brother Mark. It's wherever your soul starts to feel that coldness. I don't want to live a life in the shadows and in the darkness and never feel the warmth of the sun. I don't want to come into a church and just sit in the shadows and ride the pine, so to speak, and just be out on the background of everything and never feel the warmth of the Son of God come in here and shine down on me. I never want to live that life and not ever feel the power and even the judgmental power of God through the hand of God dealing with me. The Bible says that, I believe it's in Ezekiel, but maybe in Isaiah, I believe so, says that summer has come, the harvest has come, and summer has ended, and we are not saved. We are not saved. And so it takes these laws, doesn't it? But then he starts into this next statement. He says, yeah, the harvest... I'm sorry, folks. I'm a little slow today. It says, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Jeremiah 8:20. Thank you. Verse 26 here in Matthew, he says, and every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. It came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Well, he did have authority, undoubtedly. But with this thought in mind that a rock is the law of God, sand is a tiny little rock. It's not put together. It's all disconnected. It's all earth. There's nothing there. It's just sand. It's not joined together. It doesn't form anything solid that you can stand on. I don't remember who it was, but I think it was Brother David Kaufman, and he's deceased now, but in Tulsa, that they had bought a house. They went on vacation. They came back, and they walked up to the door of their house, and they opened the door, and he stepped through the house, and he fell about 2 feet. And everything inside the house had fallen 2 feet. Because when they built the house, they didn't put any foundation around it. It would just square it off and pour it on the ground. Could you imagine walking through your door? Don't let the dog in, honey. Well, if you start to feel the sinking feeling below you, check your foundation a little bit. You might need to shore it up. The house next door to me, which is the one that Matt and Reba was going to buy, Brother Matthew, Sister Reba was going to buy, recently sold. We've been watching for the last month. They're out there in all this crazy weather we're having. They're digging these big giant holes beside the house and driving these metal beams down in the ground and jacking this house up. And today there's people moving in it. I guess you know that. You ain't been home. That house had the same problem, didn't it? Didn't have the right foundation under it. We have something that's got the right foundation, but if we're not careful, that's why I appreciate balance. Appreciated Brother Smith getting up at this meeting, had a balance, brought a balance to this. And we have to have those things. That is just like that governor. If it's not there, then that thing will explode. People can't take it. The mechanism that is the body of Christ can't handle that much RPM on it. And of course, we found out this week that you need lubrication in the rotating assembly of a vehicle. But otherwise, it will have a scrap iron fit. But if we are changing the law and taking this rock-solid foundation, these laws, and we say, well, that's the law, by God, like it, leave it, or lump it, whatever. Then we start changing these laws to fit any given situation. What we do is we minimize the strength of that law all of a sudden. And we take that law and we start beating it up to it eventually becomes sand. That happened with standards in religion, has it not? I think Brother Smith... Weren't you saved in the assembly of God? At one time, I know my father-in-law used to tell us that they had the tightest standard in the world. One of the most wholesome people in the United States was the assembly of God. They had a law. Something started changing. They started beating that up. They started fitting that in, and situational ethics happened. Situational ethics happens whenever you take a law and you change that law to fit a situation. That's why they call it situational. That's why it takes God to handle things. If man puts his hand onto something too deep and too hard in this thing, it won't work. It's happened before. And as I said, I appreciate balance. I appreciate people bringing balance to this. I need balance. You men got to be a balance to me. I'm a little bit You know, there's counterweights and there's, you know, crankshaft. You ever look at a crankshaft on an engine? It's ugly as sin anyway, and it's big old knotted up looking, twisty looking thing. It looks like it'd be no good for nothing except a boat anchor. And you get back, when they balance it, what they do is they'll weld weights on it or they'll drill holes through it to get the weight off of it, to counterbalance it. And so we have to have those things. We should thank God that we have a diversity of ministry in here. That's a balance. I'm just happen to be one of it. I guess I'll be the part that bores us. But to get that weight off of us. But if we minimize that law too much, then it becomes sand. And it starts to change, that our foundation starts to sink under us. Little here and a little there, things start to change. Does this make sense? I was just trying to share what one person brought out to meeting. I thought it was a good thought. Thought y'all might enjoy that. If we're all going down the road and the speed limit's 70 miles an hour, but this guy over here can run 120 and get by with it, you ain't going to be happy. Are you? So you're going to do what we call bear bait, and you're going to let him get out there a little ways ahead of you so he can catch the smoky. You're going to draft him. But what if the cops stop you? What are you going to tell him? Well, that guy up there was doing the same thing. See his tail lights disappearing? Go get him. I was following him. That's really about all I got on my mind. There are different types of laws and commandments. Let's go to Proverbs, the 9th chapter. No, that's not right. Psalms 19. Psalms 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. Well, I don't want to read that whole thing. Let's scoot down to verse 7. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, restoring the soul. We know that we need our soul restored. Create in me a clean heart. Psalms 51, isn't it? It says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew the right spirit that's within me. It means there is a right spirit that dwells inside. And when God gave you the Holy Ghost and He brought you, He gave you that ability. But it's in that fight between the flesh, between your carnal natures and between my carnal nature. God's design, God's plan. God will have what God wants. You can only thwart it so long. Man can only hold back a restored church so long. But it's in that ability, Brother Durham, that we recognize, are we holding this back? And if we're holding it back, then what do we got to do? They say, well, let go. Well, we can't let go. It's a tricky little thing, isn't it? That's why I appreciate, you know, I'm a man that's full of questions. I question things. I don't always understand things. If I don't understand things, then I question it. It has to make sense in my mind or I can't do it. I don't know that there's something wrong with that. When I look at an engine that's got a missing, it's missing, I have to figure out why it's missing. I can throw a spark plug in it and make it work again, but if I don't look at the spark plug and realize it's got oil all over it and say, okay, well, it's going to fire for a little while until it gets clogged back up with oil and shorts out again. I ain't fixing nothing, am I? Not at all. So I don't know that having questions is a bad thing, sister, wherever she went. Fisher? It's a good thing. Says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. When you hear these laws that come in, not every law. There are laws of God and then there's laws of man. And it's trying to find that balance. I appreciate where God's brought us, hon. Don't you? I appreciate it immensely. It's a good thing. Appreciate studious people. The testimony of the Lord is sure. In other words, it's a guaranteed thing. The Bible says that Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Then he turned around and rebuked people for doing things that were the commandments of men. Mark 4, I believe it is. Then we find that in Acts the 15th chapter that all the apostles come together and conferred as one group, one body, because of all the dissension. It said that there had been certain men among them brought in that had done that, some of those Pharisees and some of those Jew converts. They had converted to Christianity or the New Testament order, and they had been brought into that fold. God had added them to that church. However, they were still working under the confines of the law that was given to them. Touch not, taste not, handle not. New moon, sacrifices, circumcision. That was a big one. That was the biggest one. Because all them Gentiles looked at it and they said, hang on, boys. Now that law ain't going to work. Neither the rest of that stuff. We don't do that. If I can give up my temple, my idol, and I like their meat, they got good chicken down there every Thursday. If I can give that up, well, y'all going to have to make some changes. And so they all conferred, and that's kind of the way this was this week, sitting there conferring. Someone's like, well, this is the way it is. Someone's like, you know, you can see the reservation. Well, let's let them go as far as they can go, and then we're gonna throw some meal in the pot. It was a good meeting. Don't get me wrong. I enjoyed it immensely. Enjoyed the trip as much as anything, though, even though it was a little bit burdensome, just because of the breakdowns and such of that. But anyway, verse 8 says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoice in the heart. There's a scripture that's in the Old Testament. It says, he that ruleth must do so in judgment and justice. Isn't that how that reads? Anybody get that right quick? He that ruleth must do so in judgment and justice. I'll let y'all look for that. I know it's in there. I'm not sure exactly where. I'd have to go look it up myself. But whenever you hear a law that's right, whenever you feel judgment that comes across, whatever it may be, that is right. It sets right in you. Your spirit, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost within us bears witness to what we're hearing. That's a wonderful thing. And it reassures us, and our heart rejoices. Nobody wants to be slighted. You know that Jesus and all of his goings and comings, he never slighted anybody. He held them accountable for the knowledge they had, and he never belittled them. He didn't. He was the greatest mind of that day, but he never made them feel stupid. He never put them in their place, so to speak, as far as making them feel less. He just let them know, if this is your law, Mr. Pharisee, you ain't living up to it. Who are you? I'll go on. It says, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening in eyes. Now see what all these laws do? They perfect us. They convert our soul. The law is perfect. The testimony is sure. It's going to make us wiser. I was a simple man. And I don't mean the Leonard Skinner version. I was a very simple man. And the statutes of the Lord are right, and it rejoices my heart. And I start becoming restored. Yes, the fear of the... Oh, sorry. Thought you'd found that other scripture I was looking for earlier. And I start rejoicing in my heart. And all that starts planting me and keeping me safe and solid and secure. That's why whenever all this starts to blow upon me about my life, I don't have to fear about it. Somebody quoted something earlier today that I read. It said, saying something 1,000 times or saying something 100 times is not as good as living it once. Heard that other thing, said, I'd rather see a testimony than hear one. You know, whenever you, when somebody tells you that and you're witnessing to them, you know, that's almost a rebuke. I've had that told to me several times. I'm thinking, oh, I really want to. If I wasn't trying to get you in church, I'd tell you something about that statement. That's kind of a rebuke, ain't it? I'd rather see a testimony than hear about your testimony, is what it's saying. In other words, just live it. Well, that's hard. But we're doing it. Many of y'all do it. So good. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Of course, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. We're all warned. If we can do all that right there, if you want the, if that's the abbreviated part of it, if you want the full rendition, the novel version, go to Psalms 119. You can read all 100 and plus something version, parts of it. Matter of fact, we're going to read it, the whole thing. No, I just want to tell you this. Psalms 119, and this was written down, says there's God's ways are mentioned 14 times. God's statutes are mentioned 22 times. The law is mentioned 25 times. The testimony is mentioned 23 times. Precepts are mentioned 21 times. Commandments is mentioned 23 times. Judgment, 22 times. Word is mentioned 40 times. Truth is mentioned 4 times. And one ordinance. Kind of gives you an idea of what all he's working on there, don't it? My dad didn't have to tell me too many different ways how to not shoot out the streetlights in Amarillo, Texas with my BB gun. I figured that out after about the third or fourth commandment, instruction, judgment. I realized I can't do this. So I appreciate the law of God. And I don't fear the law of man. I don't fear the law of man on the outside, and I don't fear the law of man inside. Did we find that scripture? He that ruleth. What does it say? No, that's not it. No, that's not it either. It's close. You got it, Brother Smith? He's talking to, he's giving instruction to one of his judges. That sounds closer. Hit me. Yeah, that's it. Can you put that up there? The God of Israel, yeah, 2 Samuel 23:3. Thank you, men, for looking that up for me. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. I think at the core of what Brother Smith was talking about, I apologize for making y'all look that up. I should have had enough oomph in me to go look it up since it come to my mind during the meeting, but I didn't. Can you put that back up there, please? It says, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And so, that came to my mind. I think that was at the core of what he was talking about at the meeting whenever he stood to his feet. That if we're going to rule, you're ruling over men, and I'm a soul in here. Regardless of my status or station in a church, I'm still a soul. Even the ministries, at times in the Bible, is added in with the woman. Other times we're separated from the woman to rule. But that's the core belief of what we should be. Ruling with as a just person. Not just fair, but living a just life. You won't follow somebody that don't live what they say. Why, even Jesus rebuked them. He said, don't do as the Pharisees do. Yeah, they were saying to do good things, but they just weren't doing it. And ruling in the fear of God, because you know that and that's in this higher, I guess I'm talking up the ladder, and I sure don't mean to rebuke it, I'm just trying to compliment it in my way that I do, is that looking and ruling in the fear of God, because these are God's people. I appreciate God's people. I appreciate that he's let me be one of his people. I hope to get to continue to be so. It's such a blessing, isn't it? So I'll leave you with that thought tonight. I Hope you liked it. There's a lot to it. So many people worry about laws too much. You know, whenever I'm going down the road at the speed limit 70, and I'm going down the road at 70, and I see that bubble top pull up behind me, I don't worry about him at all. I'll tell you something else. If the speed limit is 70 miles an hour and that guy's going 50, I don't fear passing him. But I don't pass him in second gear with it floored. I just ease around him. Tempting sometimes, but I don't. I figure he'll hear old Whitey anyway. It's pretty loud. But whenever I look up and I'm running 90 miles an hour or 105, got the pastor asleep, I'm making time, I'm headed home. I told him, I said, now listen, we get headed home. I'm type guy, I like to go home. I mean, I don't care. I'll stay awake. I'll do whatever I can do. I'll make it home. I used to do custom four-wheeling. And do some competitions and stuff in my Jeep, and it was a big old Mustang. I had a sticker on the inside of the windshield, and it said, "Get in, sit down, shut up, and hang on." Yeah. Sometimes that's the way we have to do. Just get in, let the ministry do what it needs to do. Okay, you can take that with a grain of salt. Let God do what He needs to do. Okay. You think the ark ever got the rocking? What did Noah do? How did he handle that situation? You got cows tipping everywhere. Stuff falling everywhere. Got this ark rocking. He could have left them ticks and stuff over there, though, that's for sure. But anyway, I appreciate the balance that we have in the body of Christ. You ain't going to find that if you go other churches. You're going to find a creed. You'll find people doing things that are out of balance. It's out of balance with the order of God. And so it's just a time machine, ain't it? Just waiting. It's always got a vibration in it. Didn't you feel calm today? You didn't feel no vibrations in this? It's nice and smooth sailing, at least today. It's good, ain't it? Anyway, I love the Lord. I appreciate you people for being on the job and all that y'all do. And I thoroughly enjoy getting to travel with Brother Smith. It's always entertaining, that's for sure. And he can multitask better than anybody I ever know. I tried it a little bit. I think I scared him. I was listening to my phone because I was listening to a song, had one earbud in. And he was talking, and I was texting and driving. We was running about 80 miles an hour down Memphis, or coming into Memphis. I thought I was doing pretty good until I see him reach over and grab that steering wheel. I think I might have scared him. I can't multitask as well as he can. But when I grow up, that's what I want to be able to do, is multitask. Anyway, God bless you.
Psalms 19. Brother, what was his name gave us? Wilson. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise a simple. Statutes of the Lord are right, righteous, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. It says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb.
Perfect, converting the soul.
saved tonight. Praise the Lord. Take this home with you. And let it guide you through the week. And remember this week, if you would, to continue to pray for Sister Elsie. She, this chemotherapy is really having a toll effect. You know, it's a toll on her. And, she's got sores in her mouth and having a hard time swallowing and getting her food down. And the doctor's talking about maybe moving it to every other week instead of every week. So keep her in your prayers. And keep Brother David Angelo in your prayers also. Let's keep him held up in the Lord during this time. I know if I was suffering with cancer at his age, you know, he's just in his 50s, and the doctor told me, you're going to die. You know, we've done all we can do, and it looks like make it. I'd want the people of God praying for me. So let's remember that. Let's keep remembering him in our daily prayers. And keep Brother Dodson on your heart till we get him back home safe and the kids and Stan. Amen. Praise God. Let's give him a praise before we go home. Oh God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Oh.